Good morning, everybody. I'm happy to be here, kind of. On the way to church this morning, I complained to Ron that why did I sign up to preach about Quaker values? I'm not a Quaker, I'm a Mennonite. And then I brainstormed a list of people I hoped would not be here this morning so that they would not be able to call me on my questionable understanding of Quakers. And unfortunately, some of those people on the list are here this morning, so all I can do is go ahead. I want to talk to you about the Quaker value of being valiant for the truth, which I didn't know was a Quaker value by name until a few weeks ago when Leslie told me this is what I was going to preach about. So these days, when I start my classes at George Fox University, I like to have my students do a writing prompt as a way to kind of prime our discussion. And I thought about handing out paper and having y'all write, but I have way too much grading already, so we are just going to do a quiz here together. So I'm going to give you several news stories, prominent news stories, and I want you to tell me whether those are true or whether they're disinformation. And the first one was reported in the past year that scientists at the University of Michigan were able to pinpoint down to the number of minutes that were lost per hot dog you ate in your life. So for every hot dog you eat, you lose 36 minutes of life. True or false?
True.
If that is true, then Ron Mock has lost quite a few minutes. Actually, it's not true, because the scientists did use hot dogs as an example of an unhealthy life, but they were not able to pinpoint it down to 36 minutes, and news outlets had just misreported what the study actually found. So the second one, some bugs are used to make red food dye. Yeah, I found that out while I was putting this together, that it is true. Some bugs are used to make food dye, which makes me not want to eat any red food, and I say that, but I just ate some Swedish fish back in Leslie's office, so. All right, the third one. A Mennonite church in Ontario had a chili cook-off to see who could cook the blandest chili. This one is actually satire. It's from a Scray satire, Mennonite satire site called the Daily Bonnet. All right, this one's going to be a little bit more difficult. North Valley Friends Church is not, contrary to what some may imply, a traditional Quaker church. According to several sources who have attended their services, they are actually a non-denominational church with a traditional evangelical worship service led by a pastor. According to the sources, they are considered a woke church whose leadership advocate for a doctrine integrated with critical race theory ideologies. True-ish, but not completely true. And this was not used to uplift North Valley. Some of you might recognize the context of this last quote, which is from a local blogger who wrote an expose on North Valley Friends Church in 2022 as we were beginning work on our Peace Trail Village. The disinformation campaign about the church and its intentions painted North Valley as anti-Christian and its leadership as part of a Newburgh area progressive mafia intent on money, power, and indoctrinating local children. I need to tell you now, Pastor Leslie, I've been friends with her for over a decade, and I don't think she's part of a mafia. North Valley follows Quaker values and practices. The expose was filled with lies And it caused real pain to real people, including people in our own congregation. Sometimes disinformation or not telling the truth can be relatively harmless. No one will probably think twice about eating a hot dog knowing that they will die 36 minutes earlier in their life. And no one will be completely transformed by discovering the blandest Mennonite-made chili. Too often, though, disinformation, which is the intentional telling of lies to sow chaos, rancor, and distrust in a population, can have disastrous consequences. In this case of Newburgh and the story about North Valley, it would be easy to dismiss this as just something from a crackpot who doesn't know the truth. Except that this person had a very big platform for a while in Newburgh. His exposés were accepted by people who shared his ideologies, and they were spread widely on social media. He was platformed on several large right-wing radio programs, and his blog led to death threats against city leaders. He turned neighbors against neighbors, making Newburgh a far less hospitable place. In the name of telling the truth about the underside of Newburgh, his blog served its purpose, breeding distrust in Newburgh, in its institutions, its schools, its churches. Some days I wonder still if those institutions and relationships in our town will ever be healed from the damage of this disinformation. Newburgh is only a microcosm of what is happening everywhere now, when a lack of truth-telling has had a disastrous impact on the world. The ascendancy of social media, the speed with which unverified news stories are put into the world, algorithms that prioritize rage bait, politicians without moral fortitude to tell the truth, these elements have created a toxic environment where truth no longer seems to matter, certainly not in the way it once did. When anything that challenges our worldview is labeled fake news, and when we are told there are facts and alternative facts, and when the line between a fact and an opinion has become blurred in our lust for infotainment, it can be hard to know what the truth really is. So many of us end up discombobulated and confused, afraid by what we're hearing, and no longer willing to search for the truth than for stories that only confirm our biases. No wonder our town, our country, our world is so deeply, deeply divided and deeply broken. Disinformation is a kind of dehumanization. It dehumanizes those it targets, and it dehumanizes often as a way to provide power over other people. It dehumanizes as a precursor to violence and has been used as a way to oppress people already on the margins. Here, as elsewhere, the dehumanization has also eroded our trust in institutions, in our government, our schools, our aid organizations, our neighbors. Some days I wonder if these institutions and humanity will ever be healed from the damage that disinformation has done to them. George Fox writes about a thick night of darkness descended upon the world, and that feels like an apt description for the post-truth world we're living in now. It's so easy to feel total, unambiguous despair, longing for truth in a post-truth world. As an English professor, one place I found truth is in books. These have proven to be a good way to fight despair about our current historical condition. When I'm tempted to believe that this is the worst time in the world's history, books remind me that bad actors have been part of our world since its beginning, and that our own country was built on the pain and suffering of others. Books also bear witness to the resilience in the face of suffering, and the subversive power of books reminds me that in the end, perverted power will not win. The world's narrative arc bends again and again to justice. And these are just a few of the books that I've been reading with my students this semester. I highly recommend all three of them. They've just been an affirmation for me about humanity. I would also say it's because we are not reading that we find ourselves so susceptible to disinformation, to the charms of distraction and the quick endorphin hits of TikTok and Instagram and Facebook, posts that make us feel so intensely. But books remind us of humanity. And this may be one reason art is suppressed by tyrannical governments, as art and literature help us see the world as it is and as it should be, a reminder of what it means to be human. George Fox himself and early Quakers provide us with another roadmap for how to fight disinformation and a lack of truth in the world. To be honest, I don't know if there was a lot of disinformation swirling in George Fox's time, but I'm guessing the English government was working hard to suppress any messages that undermined their power. Any messages and any messengers like George Fox. His ministry flourished in a time of war, cultural and social upheaval, and a state-sanctioned church that demanded people bend their knee to a monarchy who used religion to coalesce money and power. Sounds familiar. George Fox preached a different kind of relationship with Jesus, one not reliant on hierarchy and power. In asserting that we could have an authentic connection to Jesus, because he existed inside and for everyone, George Fox undermined those who said they alone could serve as mediator to the divine, a definite threat to the Church of England's entire house of cards. For this threat, George Fox was imprisoned multiple times. An attempt to silence him from saying that the church, the hierarchical church itself, was irrelevant. He rallied against money-grubbing priests and the immorality of leaders and refused to take oaths or arms. He refused to be silenced, and even when he was thrown in prison, he and other early Quakers found ways to spread their message. Early Quakers called themselves publishers of the truth, which meant, in one sense, someone who simply spoke the truth to an audience. More broadly, according to Earlham College history professor Tom Hamm, because it was relatively easy at the time to publish, many religious groups were creating pamphlets to spread their message. To spread their ideas too, Quakers knew they could use the tools of publication to get the word out about their faith, and they published dozens of pamphlets and books each year. They were driven by a conviction that they had an important message to share with the world and published truth no matter the consequences. Their persistent fidelity to truth, a virtue we should emulate in our own place and time. According to Hamm, this commitment to being publishers of truth persisted for the last 350 years, and he sees Quakers effectively now using digital spaces as a way to convey Quaker values, including speaking truth to powers that might want to keep them silent. The first publishers of truth were called the Valiant 60, though their numbers were more than 60. George Fox was part of that group, as was Margaret Fell. The Valiant 60 traveled through England preaching about Quaker ideas and were subversive for a number of reasons, not least of which that they were traveling through England sharing Quaker ideas. Rather than being priests or educated, most of them were ordinary laborers, and some were women. Having ordinary folks sharing the gospel was transgressive. Having women sharing the gospel would have been downright heretical. But these brave people continued to travel and continued to speak truth, even when doing so broke the law. Their courage to tell the truth to powers that longed to keep them silent often resulted in oppression and imprisonment, but it is because of their valiant efforts that Quaker ideas remain alive and well so many centuries later. Here's the truth. Quakers throughout time have valued the truth. telling the truth with courage and conviction, even when doing so might come at personal cost. Fighting against powers who want to hide the truth because doing so sustains their power. Using the tools available to them to publish the truth that there is one, Christ Jesus, who can speak to our condition. And so I've wondered, how can friends now be uniquely positioned to publish truth in our sometimes very bleak post-truth world? Honestly, as I was thinking about this, I see this happening already. Folks in our church and community and world being valiant for the truth. I see it in the work of people advocating for immigrants. Immigrants here in Newburgh and our international discourse have been maligned by disinformation campaigns we all know about, presented as a threat unworthy of the life and the security they are seeking. Valiant support for them tells the truth that there is that of Christ in immigrants too, and they deserve basic human rights. I see it in the work of people here in our own community and elsewhere caring for those who are houseless, who have been maligned here in our community by disinformation campaigns and unfairly targeted as a threat to children and to a community's health and well-being. Valiant support for these folks tells the truth that there is that of Christ in the houseless, and they deserve dignity. I see it in the friends' work to care for those in Gaza. Disinformation campaigns insist that Palestinians don't have any right to their own land, and worse, that they deserve the thousands and thousands of civilians' deaths they face this year. Indeed, recent disinformation insists that the Palestinians are so odious, their land should be given to the wealthy for a vacation resort. Valiant support for these folks tells the truth. That there is that of Christ in Gaza. And they deserve a safe homeland to live and raise their children. Yeah. Again and again, Quakers are bearing witness to the truth in a world that has learned to value expediency and bias confirmation and disinformation. Quakers are following the model of the Valiant 60, showing us how we can tell the truth in our post-truth world. During his numerous imprisonments, George Fox continued his ministry, writing letters and exhorting others to keep the faith. In one letter, George Fox wrote, "Go through the work and be valiant for the truth upon the earth. Tread and trample down all that is contrary. Sing and rejoice, ye children of the day and of the light, for the Lord is at work in this thick night of darkness that may be felt. And truth doth flourish as the rose, and the lilies do grow among the thorns, and the plants atop of the hills. And upon them in the lambs do..." I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
Go ahead, read the rest. This has just felt so apt for this time.
Yeah.
So when I read George Fox's exhortation here, I'm astounded by its universality and how it speaks to our condition nearly 400 years later. Another reminder that history and humanity tends to repeat itself and that our time is not so unusual after all. George Fox is himself echoing the words of the prophet Jeremiah, who faced oppression and imprisonment as he rallied against power, its nation beset by idolatry and moral turpitude. Jeremiah writes, "They bend their tongues like their bow for lies. They are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord." Telling the truth in a world beset by darkness and by disinformation, by rancor and division and chaos, is an occasion for hope and for courage. This is a potent reminder that I clearly need today. So, being the non-Quaker that I am, I'm supposed to now tell you about open worship. And even though I hear this every Sunday, I'm not sure exactly what instructions to give you, other than if you have something that you feel needs to be shared with everybody, go ahead and stand up and say your name, and a microphone will be brought to you, and then you can say your name to share with us. If it's something just for yourself, then hold it in your heart. Here are some questions that you can contemplate if they're helpful for you.